Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's a great morning. What's up? Welcome to Great Mornings Podcast. I am James Earl Cray, and I'm so excited, so elated, and so enthusiastic that you have selected to listen to us this morning. Us, me, the podcast. Again, welcome to Great Mornings Podcast. This is another episode. We are back. This is the second episode being back after almost a year off. Just trying to recalibrate, just trying to figure this thing out, trying to figure out where Great Mornings fits in the podcast world. And for those of you that know the search and the lookout and the challenge of trying to figure out where you fit at in your personal life, if you can think of that, just think about what it's like out here in the podcast world. You have incredible people, professional athletes, professional musicians and artists, professional therapists, professional doctors, great preachers. Everybody's doing podcasts. So we are at Great Mornings Podcast just trying to find where we fit at. But nevertheless, we're here. Remember, every other Tuesday, new episode is dropping. That's bi-weekly. So we're dropping this episode this morning. We won't have an episode next Tuesday morning, but the Tuesday after that, we'll be right back. So I'm excited, as always, honestly, to share with you and have an opportunity to be able to just pour some knowledge your way, pour some wisdom your way, help fill your cup back up. Not suggesting that any of your cups are empty, but sometimes our cups become 3/4 of a way filled. Sometimes it's halfway filled. And we just need somebody to pour a little bit of knowledge, wisdom, understanding, encouragement into our cup. And that's what I'm here to do. And this morning, I want to talk to us about something that honestly, I need to take heed to as much as anybody. We're going to talk today about unplugging and resting. Can you get that in your spirit? Unplugging and resting. And this is very interesting because depending on which perspective you look at this from, some people look at unplugging and resting as if it's incredibly problematic and can cause you to miss out on success and greater opportunities. Others look at it others look at it as if when you don't get sleep, rest, or unplug, then you might actually be hindering yourself. So it really depends on the perspective that you come from. And when I look at this, three quotes really stood out to me, and I had to go search these and look these up, but three quotes from three pretty prominent people, depending on, again, perspective, obviously, but according to American standards of success, these three people would be considered successful. And one of them is Steve Harvey. And Steve Harvey caught a lot of flack about this, but there was a lot of people that supported his thought, and he doubled down on it. Steve Harvey said, and I quote, "Rich people don't sleep 8 hours a day," close quote. That really stood out because what Steve was suggesting is if you want to be rich, you can't sleep. Because according to medical professionals, all of us should be getting a good night's rest or sleep of 6 to 10 hours. And Steve Harvey saying, if you want to be rich, you can't sleep 8 hours. Maynard Webb, an author, said this, and I quote, "To work hard, we have to sacrifice sleep," close quote. So Webb is suggesting that if you are really seen as working hard, that means you're sacrificing sleep. And then Martha Stewart, who's very well known, especially here in America, Martha Stewart said, and I quote, "I find that when you have a real interest in life, and a curious life, that sleep is not the most important thing," close quote. So Martha Stewart is suggesting that if you're really interested in life and have curiosity about life, then sleep can't be important. So each one of these prominent people in our American society all suggest to us that sleeping is not necessary and that sleeping is not important. But I want to counter this today, this morning, with this thought from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. That's the B-I-B-L-E, the basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. So the writer of Hebrews suggests to us to follow the model of God from the book of Genesis. If you remember, after God created the earth, after God gave the earth its vegetation, after God brought forth animals, after God separated the land from the water, after God said, let there be light, on the Sabbath day, God looked back and said, it's good, and God rested. And now the writer of Hebrews is telling us here again, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Today, I want to talk in detail about what does rest look like? Because one of the challenges for many of us as to why we struggle with getting the rest that we need, we don't know what rest looks like. Another struggle, obviously, is what I mentioned to you earlier, is that there's a lot of us that have gotten this misinformation or the wrong concept of what chasing success looks like is the absence of sleep. Some of us have fallen into that vein and we're staying awake and not sleeping well at night and getting up early because that's what success requires. And we're missing out on rest. But others of us are missing out on the proper rest because we don't really know what it looks like to rest. So I want to drop two things on you before I really dive into this. Two benefits of resting. Get these. Write them down. Put them in your notes. Remember them. The first benefit of resting is it reduces stress and anxiety. I don't know how many of you are aware, but stress is one of the top 10 killers of people. People literally die from stress. Too much stress on the job. Stress of being a parent. Stress of the lack of finances and resources and provision. Stress from your ministerial assignment, stress from your relationship, just the stresses of everyday life, and people literally die. But the proper rest can reduce stress. Anxiety, it is more common today in 2023 than it has ever been in any previous decades, generations. We talk about anxiety and depression like M&Ms. I don't even know if that really made no sense, but y'all get the drift, right? We talk about anxiety and depression together all the time. You know what can help benefit your anxiety? Getting the proper rest. So it reduces stress and anxiety. That's the first benefit of resting. But the second one that I want to give to us, and for the sake of the context of what we're living in society, proper rest improves our immune health. I said proper context just a second ago because we're still living in the face of COVID-19. Although we're not documented as being in a global pandemic anymore, COVID-19 is still alive and relevant in our society. People are still contracting COVID-19. And there are other illnesses. that are affected by weakened immune systems. But you know what improves your immune health or your immune system? Getting the proper rest. That's why doctors will tell you when you have a common cold or even when you got COVID and you're sick, you need to rest, because resting improves our immune health. So two really quick benefits of resting, why you should rest, because rest reduces stress and anxiety, and because rest improves your immune health. So those are reasons why. But here are the big things. I have five of them for us. What is rest and how to rest? Number one, what is rest and how to rest? Rest is relaxation. Come on and say it with me. Relaxation. And relaxation, family, is defined as the emotional state of low tension. It's the absence of arousal, particularly from negative sources. Keep that in mind, married people. The absence of arousal, particularly from negative sources. But the basic definition of relaxation is the emotional state of low tension. And the question that many of us have, I know I had, I don't want to project on y'all, but I'm just going to assume, right? Let me assume that the question that many of us have is, how do I really relax? Like, I hear people say all the time, you need to relax. Just go somewhere and relax. And we think about relaxation as if it's just another word. Some of us didn't even know how it was defined, let alone how to actually relax. So how do you really relax? Number one, here's how you relax. Intentionality. You have to be intentional about relaxing. You will not and cannot relax if you're not intentional. You have to be intentional about creating or finding a hobby. What is something that you enjoy doing? Netting, shooting basketball, playing golf, writing. What's a hobby that you have? And relaxing requires intentionality in that hobby. Being active, extracurricular activities. All these are things that help you to relax, but you have to be intentional about engaging them. You can't just expect that they just gonna pop up. You have to go seek these opportunities of relaxation. That's intentionality. But secondly, how you relax, this is a good one. Stretching. You can pause wherever you are, in your office, at school, get out of your car. And when you stretch certain parts of your body, it relieves body tension and it relaxes your muscles, which ultimately relaxes you. How simple is that? If you get up out of your desk at work right now, some of you at work, some of you are working from home. If you stand up right now, put your legs together, stretch down and touch your toes, you gonna feel the stretch in your body. But as you take deep breaths and you stretch, it relaxes your muscles, which ultimately relaxes the tension of your body, or relieves the tension of your body and relaxes your entire body. Who would have known that stretching is a form of relaxation? And then this is one that I need more than anything. How to relax. Take a vacation. A vacation. Go somewhere. Even if you take a 2-day vacation, go on vacation. Watch this. Even the word vacation psychologically sends your body into a shockwave of relaxation. I read that studying, kind of looking for within, I think it was psychology.edu. I'll let y'all know another time if you need the resource or the source for the resource. Just let me know. But the psychologist said, just mentioning the word vacation shocks your mind into a state or a start of relaxation. You just saying, I'm going to take a vacation, starts telling your mind to relax. So the first, what is rest and how to rest, is relaxation. intentionality, stretching, and vacationing. The second what, or what is rest and how to rest, is leisure. That's free time. And the real definition, or the official definition, of leisure is free time from the demands of work or duty. So that's what rest is. It's relaxation, then it's leisure. It's free time that you take away from the demands of work and duty, assignments, whatever. How do I do that, Cray? One, take some time alone. Your leisure, your free time, is you taking time by yourself. If that means you going to a park, getting you a blanket, laying out on a blanket in the grass, all by yourself, that's leisure. That's rest. If that means you going to the library, sitting all the way in the back, all by yourself, cuddled up with a book, that's your leisure. That's your free time. That's rest. Secondly, video games. This is more, according to some scholars, this is more 21st century-ish. That video games are a form of rest. I know a lot of you probably like, my husband or my boyfriend, they play too many video games. Did you know? That is his leisure. That's his free time away from the demands of work and duty and assignment and fathering and husband and all these things. Video games. Thirdly, reading. Now, this is one for me. I love to read, and reading in my free time, it totally places me in the posture of rest. I can take away all my stresses when I read. But this is not reading like for work and self-help, though. I want to be clear in that. This is reading like every person should be reading a novel. Like, there's a novel I've been reading, well, I can't tell you how long, probably for like almost 2 years. The Hate We Give. I just been reading. I need to get back to reading because it's so relaxing. You can envision, you can imagine it. Reading takes you somewhere. I encourage everybody, buy you a thick novel and read that novel. If you want to know some of the novels that I read, I promise you, I got some really good ones that you will love, that will take you there. And I'm encouraging myself right now to get back to reading a novel. So leisure, free time from the demands of work or duty, reading. And then the next one and the last one is self-care. Do something for you. Take yourself out to eat. Go get your nails and toes done. Go get you a fresh haircut, brothers. Go buy yourself something. Go powder. Powder is not the word I'm looking for. Go take care of yourself. I can't think of the P word that I want to. Whatever it is, y'all know what I'm trying to say. But self-care. Self-care is really a form of leisure. It's a form of relaxation. It's a form of rest. So secondly, what is rest? It's leisure. How is to take some time alone, play some video games, read a novel, and practice self-care. The third one is very interesting. It's silence. The third what is rest is silence. And I know it sounds so simple, and many people are probably like, man, that's so simple. That's easy to do. That ain't nothing. You know, silence means just being quiet. Nah, it goes a little bit deeper than that. Silence is not just being quiet. It's also meditating. Silence is not just sitting there quietly. It's sitting there focused on the quiet. Did y'all got that? Like, silence is not just being in a room, just being quiet, but silence is the focusing on the quiet. When you're there practically meditating on nothing else except for the quiet, you're locked in and thinking about the quiet. You're not thinking about work. You're not thinking about spouse. You're not thinking about children. You're not thinking about what you're going to eat. You're not thinking about how you're going to get gas in your car. You're sitting there focused on the quiet. That's silence. And silence is a form of resting. Now, here's how you can be silent. One, I love this. Sit in your vehicle in the driveway or the garage in complete quiet, focusing on the quiet. Some of y'all are like, yep, that's me right there. I do that all the time. Be honest. How therapeutic is that? Nobody talks about it. And it's not something that's in Sigmund Freud's psychological book of whatever. It's not something that's mentioned by scholars and psychologists and therapists. But if we keep it up 100, we'll be honest and say, man, sitting in my car or my truck or my van or my Jeep in the garage, nothing compares to it. Or pulling up in my driveway, sitting there with grocery in the back seat and the milk getting hot because I'm sitting there having a therapeutic moment in my driveway. Radio off, no music playing, nobody bothering you. Just sitting there in the driveway or the garage in your vehicle in complete quiet, focusing on the quiet, that's silence. That's a form of rest. But secondly, doing the same thing, but in a room, going into a room and sitting in the quiet, focusing on the quiet. Try this. It relaxes your body. It relaxes your mind. Don't go into it with stuff on your mind. Don't go into it analyzing, thinking. Don't go into it trying to figure out things. Go into it with your intention to focus on the quiet. So silence is a form of rest. And you can be silent, sitting in your vehicle in the driveway, in complete silence or complete quiet, focusing on the quiet. And you can sit in a quiet room and do the same thing, focusing on the quiet. Now, the fourth thing that rest is decompression. Now, this is a big one for me as a preacher. It's a huge one for me, and not just for preachers and not just for ministers, not just for pastors, but for those of you that have everyday jobs. Educators, medical professionals, welders, engineers, other prominent jobs that require you to deal with the stresses and aggravations of life, fast food working, restaurant working. Decompression, simple, is when you relieve or reduce the pressure of something or call the pressure caused by something. How do you decompress? Number one, sit still and take deep breaths. Take a break and meditate. So every Sunday after I preach, well, most Sundays after I preach, I have executive leadership meeting right after it. But then after that, I like to go to my office and just take a moment to sit there, practice my deep breaths, and just meditate on the room. I don't always get it because sometimes I got to make phone calls or I receive phone calls. I got to return phone calls because people been calling me during church or I got somebody knocking on my office door. But I love to try to sit in a moment and decompress. Same thing with Bible studies on Wednesday nights. When I get done Wednesday night, I try to get straight to my office after I shake hands, after I spoke to people, talk to people, listen to people, kiss babies, wave to the crowd. I like to get to my office and just let it all out. Practice that with me. Deep breath in. Deep breath out. And just sit there. That's how you decompress. You sit still, take deep breaths, take a break, meditate. You also can decompress by taking a walk. That's a big one for me too. Every Sunday before I preach, I walk 3 miles. And it's a form of preparation for me, but it's also a form of decompressing before I even hit the tip of the stress. So you can decompress by taking a walk. Try this. When you feel overwhelmed by your day or you're at work and you feel overwhelmed, shut your notebook, close your computer, go take a walk. Watch how I bless you. Exercise. Exercise it. Get you a gym membership. It will be the best thing you ever did because exercising helps you to decompress. Exercising releases endorphins from the brain, a chemical from the brain is released when you exercise. Do that. I'm not talking about just taking a walk. I know that's a form of exercising. That is a form of, that is how you can decompress as well. But exercising, I'm talking about getting in the gym, talking about running, playing basketball, lifting weights, that type of exercise. And then the next one, married people, sex is a form of decompressing. Sex reveals and reduces the pressure caused by something. I found this statistic. 9 out of 10 doctors recommend sex as the number one stress reliever. Sex is a form of resting. I'm laughing because I can feel somebody right now saying, well, I ain't resting doing sex. Don't feel like I'm resting. I be going hard. Nah, though you might be getting your cardio up, remember exercise is a form of resting. All of these are forms of resting. Resting is not about just your body. Resting is about your mind. It's about your spirit. It's about different aspects of the person that you are. It's not just about your body. So though you're working your body, sex releases endorphins as well, the chemical from the brain of pleasure. And 9 out of 10 doctors recommend sex as the number one stress reliever. So decompressing is a form of rest, relieving or reducing the pressure caused by something. And how you do that is you sit still and take a deep breath, meditate, take a walk, exercise, married people have sex. And then the fifth and final, probably the most common, not even probably, it is the most common idea of rest is sleep. I know what Steve Harvey said. I know what Maynard Webb said. And I know what Martha Stewart said. But I'm here to tell you they're wrong. Rich people do sleep. You can be a hard worker and not have to sacrifice sleep. And you can have a real interest at life and be curious about life and still have sleep as an important thing on your list. Sleep is important. How do I get sleep, Craig? I got insomnia. I get so tired of hearing people say that. You don't have no insomnia. You just need to figure out how to sleep. So here's four things that I believe can help you sleep. One, avoid caffeine in the afternoon and evening. Better eating habits. The better you eat, did you know this? The better and healthier you eat, the better you sleep and the better you rest. If you're going to take coffee in the morning, you probably shouldn't have coffee after 12 o'clock at noon because you're wiring your body up to stay up all night. Whatever that is, there may not be coffee, maybe some other form of caffeine. If you know you don't sleep well, stop drinking so much caffeine. I would say avoid caffeine totally. Helps you sleep, which helps you rest. Also to sleep, stick to a consistent sleep schedule, even on the weekends. What is your schedule of sleeping? Go to bed at the same time. Wake up at the same time. These things will help you rest or sleep. Some of us struggle with sleeping because one night you go to bed at 3 o'clock. The next night you're trying to go to bed at 9:30. No, you got to be, your body needs consistency. So stop shocking your body by going to sleep at 4 o'clock on Monday night, which is Tuesday morning, and then trying to go to sleep at 7 o'clock the next day. Sending your body straight into shock, it ain't going to work. You got to create a consistent sleep habit or pattern or schedule, even on the weekends. Here's the third way you can sleep. At least an hour before you go to bed, swap screen time for a relaxing activity, such as, here it is, reading, stretching, or sitting in a bath. So put down your cell phone, get off social media, and read. Take a relaxing bath. Do something other than scrolling. Because as you scroll, you're keeping yourself awake. Every time you look at a new TikTok video, every time you look at a YouTube short, every time you look at somebody's story on Instagram, every time you're nosy reading all the comments on somebody's post on Facebook, you're killing your sleep. No, it does not help you fall asleep when you're scrolling social media. It's really keeping you awake. Put the phone down, pick up a book. Put the phone down, go sit in the tub. Those are things that help you to sleep. And then the fourth and final of how to help you sleep, exercise comes up again. But listen to this. Work out early in the morning if possible. It helps your body to be, it energizes your body in the morning, but helps your body to shut down toward the end of the night. I'm telling you, it's almost like taking a sleeping pill or melatonin. When you work out in the morning, it forces your body at night to start slowly shutting down. And then before you know it, you're asleep. So sleep is the fifth and final how when it comes to resting. And how do you sleep? Avoid caffeine after noon. Stick to a consistent sleep schedule or ritual routine. Before bed, stop scrolling social media, stop checking emails on your computer, and pick up a book or go take a relaxing bath or stretch. And then fourthly, exercise. Try to do it in the morning. So family, these are just some of the things I wanted to share with us on resting, because I want us to know how important rest is. You cannot afford to keep trying to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. You cannot afford to keep pressing on toward the mark, chasing after your ambitions and aspirations, and not be getting the proper rest. Notice I'm not focusing just on you getting the right amount of sleep. I'm focusing on us getting the right amount and the proper rest, relaxation, leisure, silence, decompression, and sleep. You need these to function properly that you can go after everything that God has aligned for you to have. How many of you want what God has for you and are willing to put the work in, but always feel like you're tired? I just told you how to rest, and I hope that this benefits you. Listen, family, it's been a great morning, and I thank God for every one of you. Share this podcast with somebody. Please go give me a 5-star rating. Let people know the podcast is dope if you think so. If not, don't say nothing bad about us. But family, again, I thank y'all so much for checking in with us on this Tuesday morning. There's no other place you should have been than right here. You should be sharing this podcast with somebody already by now. Listen, I love every one of you. I'm so grateful for all of you. So thankful for all of you. But please remember that no matter what obstacles you face today, the rest of this week, this month, or this year, it's always, always a great day to be great. I love every single one of you. Thank you for all your support. But remember that God loves you so much more. And until next time, I'm out. Peace.
Wake up to the roosters, eat breakfast for a booster. You alive, say hallelujah to the man, the mighty ruler. Because of him, you able to do it. If you on his side, then you ain't losing. He gave clothes, food, and your roof. He tell mountains, get them moving. It's a great morning. Wake up, wake up. It's a great morning. Wake up, wake up. It's a great morning. Wake up, wake up. It's a great morning.